Let's go down Isaiah chapter 53, and let's start in verse 3. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. The Bible says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." How many of you have ever been crushed? Right? Yes. A lot of us in our life have found things that crush us, right? And we could go through the gamut. Let me just think of just a few different ones. I know sometimes financially we can feel like we're crushed, right? And some of our folks right now are feeling it in their health, aren't they? I know Wendy's dad's not here today, and Nana and Gramps are trying to get rested up. They gave a big church day yesterday, and Diane Bridges today. She served so much yesterday, but they are exhausted, right? And sometimes our health can be crushing to us. But I think probably one of the things that we can most all of us identify here is with grief, amen? Grief can be crushing. And I heard something this week that really has stuck with me, and I'm hoping you guys can help the preacher with it. You know, your preacher up here, he's kind of all feels sometimes, right? He can't really talk without crying, and he can't really sing without shouting, right? That's just kind of, that's how I'm built, okay? But what also happens sometimes is I think I magnify things that I should not necessarily be magnifying. Let me give you an example of that. How many of you ever... you just feel like you're really exhausted and you're tired, and you feel that way like all the time? A few of you out there, amen? Okay. What can happen, and what I've noticed in myself over the last couple months, was that I was magnifying those things in my life. I don't want to deny them. Hear me out. I'm not telling you to deny it and stuff it and push it away. But what I was doing is I was giving way, and I was like, oh, I just don't have the time to do this. Oh, I just don't have the energy. Oh, I just don't have, and I started to throw a pretty good pity party. You guys ever thrown a good pity party? Hey, I'm good at it, right? Over here, there's a couple guys over there, so they're good at it too, right? We can sometimes do that, and what we end up doing is we magnify the wrong thing. And so I was listening to a man online who just, he gives little videos, but he's always right in tune with the scriptures. And he started talking a little bit about Paul, and that Paul wrote one of the most joyful books in the whole New Testament, the book of Philippians, and he wrote it from where? He wrote it from prison. I'm like, one of the happiest books in the New Testament, he wrote from the jail cell. And what he kind of began to lay out was this truth. What Paul did was he did not magnify the prison, he magnified the Lord. Amen? And when he said that, I mean, I about fell out. I'm like, oh, that's it. That's where I'm at. I have got to stop magnifying my struggle and magnify the overcomer of my struggle, and that is the Lord. Amen? So today, as we kind of make our way through, I want you to think with me a little bit in this way. What we're going to see, and I hope that you can take this in the right spirit, the scripture is going to teach us today that even though we may feel like we're crushed, it was Jesus who was crushed for us. He's already won. Did you hear that? My favorite song this year is, "I'm fighting a battle you've already won." And I'm doing it. I'm like, I got to let go. Recognize that the Lord has won the battle. So very simply today, we're going to step into one of my favorite, probably one of many of your favorite Old Testament passages that clearly proclaims Jesus as the Messiah. And hopefully you can walk out of this room today releasing your burden a little bit again to the one who was crushed for you. So let's look again. This time, the NIV version in verse 3. The Bible says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem." Now, do you remember when this book was written? You guys, there are so many people who want to deny the scriptures and the truth of the scriptures. They may want to talk about spirituality part, but they want to deny the history. They want to deny the factualness of them. Isaiah wrote this 700 years before Jesus would be born, would live a perfect life, and would die his death. Today, if you have some time, I'd really encourage you this afternoon. I did a little bit again this morning. Take some time, read all of chapter 53. And you're going to see over and over and over a clear declaration of Jesus Christ 700 years before he ever came to the planet. And that's something that can give us great confidence in the Word of God. Isaiah wrote down these words, and as you think of, even as we are not even that far away, Holy Week is just around the corner, Easter Sunday will be here before we know it. As we think about that, we want to think about this coming king. If you remember, whenever Jesus was coming and he was on the earth and he lived his life, right before the crucifixion, we have this time where we call Palm Sunday. Anybody remember Palm Sunday? Yeah. And it was kind of an amazing day because many of the people thought that, this is what we've been waiting for. Here, all the hype is going to come to pass. This is the Lord. This is him, and now he's going to set us free from Rome. We're going to be the premier nation in all the world again. He's going to make his kingdom. And some of the disciples were already even shuffling like, do you think I can be on the right hand? Do you think I can be on the left hand? They even working their mom to try to get them in to have an opportunity, right? That was their envisioning of what the kingdom of Jesus would be. He was a hero to people who made him into their own idea of what he could be for them. Think about that phrase for just a second. Do we sometimes do the same thing? Do we make Jesus into what we want him to be for us? Are you tracking with me? Maybe you're not following me just quite yet. Sometimes, instead of knowing that Jesus is the God of the Bible and he is defined by the truths that he has revealed to us in his word, we just make him into our own personal whatever we think we want. All right? To be real honest with you, sometimes for some people, there's not a lot of difference between Jesus and Santa Claus. Right? Have you heard those things before? I'm serious, right? Like he has a naughty nice list. Well, Jesus keeps track of the naughty nice things. If you're a good person, you get what you want, right? And you leave him gifts and hope that in return he'll give you greater things. I mean, seriously, some people treat the Lord like that. Like, well, if I'll pray to him, he'll give me what I want. That is not the Jesus of the Bible, is it, right? Okay? So I want us to be clear today that we need to be careful that we don't try to make Jesus into our own little image of what we want him to be. And so here, Isaiah gives us some very clear descriptions of who Jesus would be. Isaiah says he was despised and rejected. And when we get to crucifixion day, we'll see that very same thing. And we even heard the crowd cry out, right? What did they cry out on Good Friday? Crucify, right? Crucify. I mean, just saying that kind of gives me a little chills, doesn't it? You? The God of heaven came and offered himself for you, and you're asking for him to be killed. That's what they were chanting, was crucify. He was rejected. He would not be the king that they were looking for. Instead, he would be mocked as the king because he did not meet their expectations. Let me read this from Gordon MacDonald. I think it's a good description. He says, Jesus was one of us. He had to be human to be our Redeemer. He wasn't fancy, and he probably wouldn't have been voted the best-looking, the most popular, or even the most likely to succeed. More than that, he was despised and hated and eventually crucified. I think we need to be constantly reminded that Jesus, by the standards of cultural success models, was a miserable failure. Again, we don't like that word failure associated with Jesus, do we, right? Because we know he was the ultimate success. But if we'd be defining him by the way our culture would define him, they would say he was useless, right? And it's a good reminder again that Jesus fulfilled the scriptures, wasn't it? He was despised and rejected. He was not something that, you know, traditional success would define as the best, but he was rejected. as we'll see, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. When we see Christ, we see him in his sorrow. Where was Jesus when he was with his disciples and they were having a hard time staying awake? Are you guys having a hard time staying awake this morning? Right? I know you're exhausted. You remember the garden, right? Jesus goes into the garden, and Luke, I believe it's Luke that says, he sweat as it were what? Drops of blood, right? That's how intense his grief was. So here's another thing I want you to identify with the Lord this morning. He knows your grief. Okay? This is kind of unique to me. Whenever we lost Jeremiah, usually when I think of funerals, a lot of times there's some distance between me and the person that's passed away. There wasn't very much distance between me and Jeremiah. And last week, and even into now, but last week, there was a lot of heaviness. And those of you that have been through grief before, you know that sometimes it just kind of comes in waves and comes out of nowhere, doesn't it, right? And I'm just like, what is this sadness? And I knew that my body was telling me, you're just really missing your friend. And what I've reminded here, what the prophet Isaiah tells us is that Jesus knows grief, okay? So today, as we go and step through these things, and for some of you that are in a good place right now, I hope many of you are in a good place today, and you're strong and healthy, you're probably going to be acquainted with grief in the future. But as you go and step through those things, I want you to be reminded that the Lord that you go to, when you go to him, he knows what grief is. He knows what it is to be despised and rejected. He knows what it is to be sad and to have sorrow. He is acquainted with our grief. He understands. If anyone ever knew sorrow and grief, Jesus knew it, and especially he knew it on the cross. Now, I want you to see what Isaiah says about the disciples, even 700 years before it happened. He says, we hid our faces from him. Today, in a highly centralized and graphic culture that we live in, if we were to see the events of the cross, we most likely would also hide our faces. It is too much to take in. Some of you maybe have seen, I know Vicki has shared on different occasions where she watched The Passion of the Christ, and there are times where it's almost like you kind of have to turn away, right? You're like, I just can't take this much suffering in one human being. And this is what Isaiah was telling us 700 years before it came to pass, that Messiah would suffer in this way. We would hide our faces from him. And again, I'm not going into great detail this morning, but you guys know briefly what Jesus went through, right? Imagine first the flogging. And sometimes the flogging is almost like an afterthought, but to me that is one of the worst things to begin with. He was beaten 39 times with a cat of nine tails. The back side of Jesus, his whole back was ripped open with nails and glass and stones, and he was laid out on a pole, right? And then something I don't think we think a lot about is the soldiers who were spitting in his face and mocking him. And very likely they were punching him, making fun of this so-called king. And then to try to carry his cross. We know how much pain he was in because he couldn't even carry his cross the whole way, could he, right? Someone had to carry it for him. Again, Jesus knows suffering, he knows grief, and we hid our faces from him, and then we esteemed him not. What happened to the disciples on the day that Jesus was being crucified? Where were they to be? Right? Eventually, John will show up because we know Jesus will speak to John, but especially that right before then, they all fled, didn't they, right? They didn't value him. They didn't esteem him. They were too busy caring for themselves. But here is the truth in verse 4 of Isaiah 53. Look together with me. The Bible says in verse 4, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. Do you see the misunderstanding? Right? Oh man, what was so bad about that guy? God must have really had something against that guy to let that terrible thing happen to him. But the griefs that he bore, they were our griefs. And the sorrows he bore, they were our sorrows. The sins that nailed our Savior to the tree, that was your arrogance and my lust, your greed and my apathy. It was our sins that nailed Jesus to the tree. He bore these griefs for you and for me. He did. And can I give you a little positive too, though? All of the guilt that you might feel, all of the shame, all of the self-loathing, Jesus bore all those things too. And he took them so that you don't have to. Can you hear me this morning? Some of you, I just want to take you by your cheeks and I want to grab hold of you. And I want to tell you, you don't have to hold on to that. You're fighting a battle he's already won. All right? Stop. He bore your grief. And you need to then rest in him. All right? That's the idea of being crushed. Yes, we feel crushed, but the Lord was crushed for us. The problem was, and Isaiah again pointed out, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. Surely he was being smitten by God. We didn't realize it was for us. We thought it was about something he had done. But the perfect spotless lamb had done nothing wrong and everything right. And it wasn't his sin that held him on the tree. It was yours and it was mine. Then probably, maybe, I'm going to tell you this morning, maybe my favorite verse in the whole Old Testament is verse 5. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment or the chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds or by his stripes, we are what? Oh, praise the Lord. Right? As we try to make our way through any time of crushing, and we all have faced it at some time, many of us will face it in the future, this is a verse that I want to cling to. Jesus bore the grief and the sorrow and the pain so that he could help me make my way through healing. His stripes paid the penalty for sin that I could be healed here now in him, but ultimately completely with him forever. Amen? His peace, the chastisement that brought us peace was on him, and by his stripes we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. And NIV has this word here, and that's why I wanted to highlight it. He was crushed for our iniquities. All right. So today, sometimes when you feel like, man, I'm crushed, and you may be crushed. I'm not trying to deny your feeling or your hurt today, okay? Hear me out clearly there. But I want you to be very clear that God gave his own son to be crushed for you that you could have healing. That's what the scripture teaches us. The scourgings, the whip that was for us, the punches that was for us, the grief was to pay a debt that we owed. So if we would accept what he did for us, we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. Very clearly, and you guys know I preached this many times, Jesus was our substitute. He took our place. Please hear me today. There are so many churches that want to teach that Jesus was a good example, but he didn't really have to take our place. But the Bible is so clear that it was us who were headed for the very wrath of God, but Jesus was our substitute. He stepped in and he took what we were supposed to take that we could be set free. Never neglect that truth or that doctrine. Make sure everyone hears that that is absolutely the word of God. Jesus took our place. Again, clearly the Bible says, the punishment that brought us peace was on him. The complete chaos, the beating that would bring us ultimate peace was on the back of the Lamb of God. Your peace came at a great price. And so out of that, what flows? Carly read it for us really good today, didn't she, right? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Holy, holy is he, right? Oh, man, that's so good, right? Yes, he did bear the grief. Yes, he was mocked. Yes, they thought of him as nothing. And now God has exalted him to the highest place, the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what do we do out of our grief when the Lord begins to heal us? We worship. Oh, man. You guys, it was just a couple weeks ago in January where we missed a Sunday and a Wednesday. And you would have thought I hadn't been to church for a year. When we showed up that next Sunday and for worship practice, we just were singing in worship practice. And I was like, this is right. This is where I have to be. I have to be praising the Lord and what he's done for me. And when I'm doing that, everything else for me and my life comes together and comes in place. So as we are recognizing what he did for us, we want to worship the Lord this day. Again, the Bible says, by his wounds we are healed. What an exchange. Jesus' wounds bring healing for our wounds. His heart was pierced so your heart could be healed. His work was complete. His work was perfect. The healing we need is found in the crushing of the Savior. He was crushed so that we don't have to stay there. Verse 6, the Bible says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's hard to believe, but even after so much love was poured out, that we still go our own way, don't we, sometimes? Right? I don't know if you missed it today, and I must tell Jesus, that third verse there, oh, how the world of evil allures me, right? Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. But I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world of victory to win, right? Do you remember last week? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to lose the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it, right? Seal it for thy courts above. Do you hear what the authors of the hymns are saying? It's hard, right? The world is tempting. To forsake this love, to feed myself, is so tempting. And Isaiah prophesies that we will go astray, we will turn our own way, and yet the Lord crushed things so that we could be returned to him. You guys, if you didn't learn anything from the prodigal series, learn that you can come back. Amen? The Lord calls us back. The Lord laid on him, on his son, on his Messiah, the iniquity of us all. You guys know the verse, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. Isaiah says here, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us, who? All. Do you believe that today? Right? Not just the people in Marion County, not just the Southsiders of Indianapolis, right? Not just people of a certain income or a certain wealth or a certain stature or a certain status. Isaiah prophesied the iniquity was laid on him for us all. And then John revealed in chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the whole world, right? The world. Today, I want you to be reminded of these things. Oh, how Jesus loves you, and he wants to see you healed and restored. As we try to make our way through crushing grief and crushing hurt, remember that the Lord was first crushed for you. His sacrifice makes a pathway for your peace, and his stripes for your healing. Oh, how you are loved, and oh, how we need to love the Lord. I think I shared with Melissa yesterday as we wrap up this morning. She was getting ready to go home, Melissa Copeland. And I know she was really tired. You guys, she's been amazing. She has been such a friend and such an encouragement, such a help to this whole family at the time. And she's been, to me, what a Christ-like person should be in this situation. But as she's walking out, I told her this. I said, well, now the hard work begins. Those of you who have been through grief, you know that, right? We have a funeral service so that we can help people process, and so we have a point in time where we can try to share all of the hurt and the pain. But for a lot of us that have been through something like this before, we know that when you're going through grief, your whole world has gone to almost hardly moving at all, and the whole rest of the world, it doesn't stop, does it, right? It just keeps going, it just keeps moving, and you're just like, how can you keep doing these things? Don't you know how terrible this feeling is that I'm experiencing? And so while it is so good, and we did so good to step into honoring Jeremiah and trying to share the gospel, now the work begins where we have to love and serve all those people affected in that grief. Amen? Today, the Lord may put on your heart different people, okay? Some of you maybe need to reach out to Angel this week, and you need to let her know that she is not forgotten and that God loves her. And yes, it's going to be hard and it's a long process, but some of you will reach out to Karen and you're going to say, boy, you did a lot of organization. I'm so proud of you, but I know you're about to collapse because you haven't had your time yet, right? Some of us, a lot of us, and this is where your preacher is, my heart goes to kids. It just does. It goes right to the kids, right? Joe and Rick and I were talking about we got to take out Alex and go play some pool. Joe was kind of making fun of us. I don't think he feels like Rick and Sintel and I are very tough to be his pool buddies. He needs some more stronger guys to go with him. But we were talking about spending some time with Alex and spending time with Aaron, right? They need us to engage in their lives. And then she's here today. I'm so proud of her. I don't mean to call her out, but I'm so glad Rhonda is here. But we need to be a listening ear to Rhonda. And we may need to even touch base with Glenn and with Brett. And we need to touch base with Charlie and Ethan, right? You guys, these people, the Lord put in our place. And it's easy to say, check, we did the funeral. Check, we had a meal. Okay, now let's, what's next? And I'm telling you, the work begins now. He was chastised for us. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And as we walk together with one another with that truth, we will help bring healing to people who have been crushed when they recognize that he was crushed for us. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I ask our musicians to come and sing. You guys know what our habit and our pattern is. And I hope that you never see this altar. We call these steps up here, we call them an altar. I hope you never see it as a place of judgment. It's a place to come and to share your burden with the Lord. And you don't have to come, but we'd love for you to come. And a lot of times it just makes things a little more cemented when you step out and you make a decision. And if the Lord is calling you today and you think you need to come and pray, we'd invite you to come. We always would encourage you to. Sometimes it's easier if you come with a friend. If you need to tap someone on the shoulder and say, hey, do you mind just coming up there with me? And somebody can be here quietly with you. Someone can come and pray with you. But we would love for you to come and confess your burden and your heart to the Lord today. I don't want to leave any confusion. I'll be very clear. And again, I felt like Brett did a very good job yesterday. Today, are you ready to meet the Lord? Right? It's very simple. If we repent of our sins, surrender our heart to him and trust him, he will come in and cleanse us of our sins and forgive us and give us hope and a future. If you've never done that, today could be the day that you come and you say, today I am making that change. And then the Lord will start the rest of the work that he needs to do in you, all right? Today, some of you have some friends and family, and I have some friends and family, that they're far from God, and they may be lost. And today, you may need to come and pray for them. You can bring a friend and say, I want to pray for my friend that they would know the Lord today. Let's just have a quick moment, quiet and prayer, and then we'll have Ray lead us in this hymn of Pass Me Not, all right? And you can come anytime if you need to come.